Do you have a real partnership with your supporters? Well, we're going to look at that today here on MemCare by Radio. Welcome to another edition of MemCare by Radio. I'm Scott Hollinger. Today we're going to be in part two of our series that looks at how we can better support our partners who financially and prayerfully support us. Today's material comes from Dr. Ken Williams. In our kind of work, each of us has partners, whether they are prayer partners or financial partners. On our last time together, we went through a biblical example of partnership between the Apostle Paul and the Philippian church. Today, we're going to look at some ways we can tangibly express our thankfulness to our partners. Let's look first at gratitude. This is the foundation stone. It certainly was with the Apostle Paul. He said in Philippians 1:3, "I thank my God every time I remember you." So an attitude of gratitude is so critical that without it, most of us will be doomed to struggle financially. God's nature is to respond to a grateful heart, as hundreds of scriptures affirm. He responds to our financial needs when we consistently thank Him for His financial provision and for those whose hearts He has touched to be partners in the gospel. And He has created us in His image to respond as He does. When we express our gratitude to others, their nature is to respond, motivated to pray, give, and be even more involved with us. Our motivation for thanking God and people must not be to get them to respond, but an expression of our genuine gratitude. Have you heard the saying, gratitude unexpressed is ingratitude? Well, it's not enough merely to feel thankful toward our partners. We must communicate it. Let's recall the story in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19 of the 10 lepers. Remember that only one came back to thank Jesus for healing him? Well, what did Jesus say? In verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." This is a powerful example of ingratitude. Only one out of 10 returns. We must ask ourselves, do I consistently express my thanks to God and to others for every act of kindness shown, for every gift given? Now let's talk about some effective and ineffective methods of expressing gratitude. Printed letters may be useful for conveying information, but not for communicating gratitude. Our thanks must be personally expressed. For those who are in partnership with us, printed letters with no handwritten notes and email messages with no personal references to the person receiving them are not enough. They have little impact on most people, especially amidst the onslaught of junk mail that we all receive. So here are some methods of communicating that are more effective than printed letters. First, a well-done computer-generated letter with personal references to the recipient, news, and an expression of gratitude. These are becoming less useful as they become more common. The second, and one that I use a lot, a short handwritten letter of thanks with a little bit of news attached. An email message with personal references to the recipient, a little news, and thanks. Short is usually better than long. Now, one thing I have to admit that I like to do also that a lot of people who help me in ministry appreciate are pictures, especially of our children. Next up, a printed letter with handwritten personal comments and thanks. What do you read first when you receive a prayer letter with a personal note written on it? I know my eyes are drawn right to that handwritten note. Or a handwritten postcard, perhaps even a phone call, especially if the focus is on listening rather than telling our stories. Do you choose to communicate personally with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, thus obeying Colossians 3:23? This doesn't make it less work, but it can take the drudgery out of it. And I would add right here that with today's technology, it's becoming easier and easier to communicate with people no matter where we may be located. My wife and I regularly receive calls from her family in Southeast Asia, so consider the ways that technology can help you stay connected. Now, second, make the most of one-time and occasional gifts through gratitude. People who give to you once are your best contacts for possible partnership. Here's an idea. When someone sends a one-time gift, send personal notes every month or two for a year. Don't mention financial needs. Many will be so encouraged by your loving gratitude that they will want to be more involved in your life and ministry. And Dr. Williams noted that a significant amount of their monthly support comes from people who originally meant to give only one gift, but through their ministry to them, God touched the hearts of those that had given to become regular partners. When partners send money quarterly, annually, or only occasionally, write them personally at least every 2 months as a ministry to them. Dr. Williams notes that in 1968, they began sending personal letters and notes every month to each of those who were giving and, they assumed, were praying. They decided to focus most of their efforts on really ministering to those special people and churches that God had already brought into partnership with them. Incredible things began to happen. Dr. Williams says within 2 years, nearly all of them were drawing into a much deeper relationship with and commitment to the Williams family. At that time, they returned to work in the home office and their financial support increased 30%. All of the extra came from their partners without ever mentioning additional needs. Now, the second is ministering to partners. The traditional focus on fundraising and donor relations has been on the needs of the Christian worker and not on the need of the partner. This isn't only unbiblical, but frankly, it doesn't work very well, especially in light of today's realities. We need to focus on our partners' needs and how we can appropriately minister to our giving partners. This means we must get to know them and their needs as time goes by. In their experience, nearly everyone needs the following kinds of ministry: love, gratitude, carefully listening, being a friend. You know, many Christians don't have very many friends. Few have true friendships which last a lifetime and go with them wherever they go. Being a true caring friend over the years is a wonderful, powerful ministry to them and to us. And of course, prayer. And then practical help. The Williams have noted that they've given money to partners in need. Why should we be the only ones to receive financial help? When we're with them, we can help around the house with cleaning, yard work, painting projects, small repairs, etc. And then there's spiritual ministry. As the years go by, we can each have a very significant spiritual ministry through our letters, prayers, phone calls, and visits. We can encourage them in their walk with the Lord, exhort them, be role models of godly people. Do you realize that just being in partnership with you over the years will draw most or all of them closer to the Lord? It's something to think about. And then opportunities for involvement. It's a privilege to be personally involved in God's work. As our partners pray, give, and get others involved with us, they are blessed. So discover ways for them to provide practical help and expertise to you and other Christian workers. Remember, they're laying up treasure in heaven through their partnership with us. And finally, information. And Dr. Williams notes that he believes information is not as important as most Christian workers think, especially today. Yes, our partners do need information about us, our ministry, and our mission, but they don't need as much as we need to give. People today are so saturated with information overload. Our partners are not only interested in our work, but also in our personal lives. Most need to know how we and our family are doing, a little of what we're doing for the Lord, and one or two prayer requests. They prefer a little information at a time, provided often. As you read these, consider whether they are true about those who support you. It will help you understand whether they consider themselves partners or donors. You see, partners assume responsibility. Our partners have taken responsibility for us. They share our needs with family and friends. And finally, Dr. Williams offers some qualities of partners, and this is borne out through their experience. He says, partners assume responsibility. He notes that their partners have taken responsibility for their family. For over 40 years, they have done no support raising whatsoever. They simply share their needs with family and friends and encourage them to get involved because they are so blessed. Partners are in it for the long haul, usually for life. Virtually none of their partners have stopped being partners without extreme circumstances on their part. Location is irrelevant to partners. They don't care whether the Williams family are living and working overseas or in the home country, as long as they know they are serving God in ways they want to be a part of. Partners give all they can. Dr. Williams notes that all of their partners have significantly raised their support. In all the years in the U.S., God has provided more than full support, and over half of their partners have become involved with other missionaries at the Williams Encouragement. And finally, partners don't give just because we're needy. Whatever our level of support, they should eagerly want to be a part of our lives and ministry because they are so blessed. Finally, all of this means a serious commitment of time and effort on our part. But when we consider it as a key part of our overall ministry, rather than just writing donors, we see it in a new light. Dr. Williams has noted that many of their partners have been involved for over 40 years. Imagine the incredible power of ministering to the same people for that long. We know that their lives are different, yes, better, because of ministry to them and theirs to us. Now, finally, all of this means a serious commitment of time and effort. But when each one of us consider it as a key part of our overall ministry rather than just writing donors, we'll see it perhaps in a new light. Now, a question for you. Do you think in terms of having to raise support or getting to raise support? In other words, do you think, wow, I get to raise support? Or do you think, oh man, I have to raise that? The answer to this question will reveal whether you're relating to them as donors or to partners.